great to worship together, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, so last week we were talking about, we saw how Mark was writing a summary of the things that Jesus had been doing. He had been healing people, casting out demons, forgiving sin, teaching, and people were coming from all over, right? We talked about the distance that it was, that it was recorded people were coming, 80 miles north, 80 miles south. This is a huge area. People are coming from all over to come and see Jesus. And Jesus was emphasizing family and emphasizing that his true family are the people that sit at his feet and obey his words. Back in the Old Testament, Moses, God spoke to Moses and the people. And in Deuteronomy 18, it says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." God says, a prophet like you. Moses saw God in person on the mountain and was given the law of the Lord to give to the people. It was the covenant that they made with the Lord. And today we are going to see similarities of how Jesus is fulfilling this scripture and the parallels between him and Moses. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, this sweet time of worship, watching people flourish in their gifts in worship to you. Lord, I pray that you would be here with us now as we dive into your word. I pray that it would speak clearly to all of us, all our hearts and our minds, and that we would walk out of here a different people. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So turn with me to Mark 4, verse 1. I'm going to read the first section there. It says, "Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So think about this. Jesus knew and saw his Father face to face, and here he is teaching the law to the people. Unlike Moses, he's not bringing tablets of stone, but he's bringing the law to people's hearts. He's preaching in a way that's confronting their hearts. And they need to choose whether they're going to hear that word and obey it or just sit there and listen. And we see Jesus is speaking in parables. Kids, do you know what a parable is? Have you ever heard that word? Parable? Any idea what it is? Okay. Some people describe a parable as being an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Does that make sense? So, it's something we can relate to, but it has a hidden or deeper meaning that requires us to think. Okay? So, this first parable, this parable that we just read, this is the first one recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the reason it's recorded first is because of its importance. So, just thinking about this parallel will give us a framework for the other parables to follow. And what I want to do, kids, if you can come up close, I brought here, come on up here.
I brought different kinds of soils.
All right?
Now, you guys helped me with this yesterday, but you didn't know what it was for.
All right? So, this first soil, do you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, I got seeds in my back pocket, too, I can show you.
We collected pumpkin seeds out of the cupboard this morning, didn't we? All
right, so if I put a seed on this soil right here, you can see it just kind of sits there. You can't really push it in. It's very hard. You feel that? Very hard soil. If you guys don't believe me, it's hard soil. Okay, so if we put a seed on that soil, what might happen? You guys watch birds, right? What happens if birds come?
They all eat it.
Are they able to just grab that seed and take it away and eat it? Yeah, because the seed can't get into the soil, right? It's hard. What about this soil here? If we put a seed in here, is it going to grow well? Why not?
Because there's rocks.
Rocks in there, right? It can't get to the soil good. And even the soil that's in there has a bunch of rocks in it. So it's not going to have good roots. Okay? What about this one right here? I packed these in yesterday, so they're not looking so hot today. But if I put that seed in there, maybe it'll get to the soil. But all these weeds around it, when the sun shines, how much sunlight's going to get to that seed? Not very much, right? Just maybe a little bit. And these weeds are going to just choke out that seed, and it's not going to spring to life. Mira, you want to see too? Now, this soil right here, this came out of the fertilizer bag, right? That's good dirt, isn't it? I smell that in there. Now, if we put a seed in here, look at how that just fell right in there. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
It just fell right in there. And this is nice, good soil. Is it going to grow in here?
Yeah.
Yes, it will. All right. So keep paying attention because there's going to, remember we were talking, this is a parable. It's an earthly lesson with a heavenly meaning. Okay? So there's a bigger lesson here than just the seeds. Okay? All right, go sit down.
Hope we don't eat them.
You hope we don't eat them? All right, so we're just looking at these soils right now. We have to keep paying attention if we want to know the parable story behind these, okay? So in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, it said, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, yeah, right? I mean, we all have ears, right? But not all ears are tuned to hear and obey the words being spoken. Does this make sense? So, just an example, when I take the children out to the woods, I can hear things most of you guys wouldn't hear because I'm into bird watching, right? So, in order to watch the birds, sometimes you have to be able to hear them first and know that they're there. When I walk in the woods, I cannot help it. I hear birds all the time. I hear different kinds. I can tell the kids, hey, that's that warbler singing. That's that sparrow singing. I tune my ears to hear that stuff. Paul Farrell, when he test drives a car, he has ears most of us wouldn't hear, right? He can hear that little and he knows, but it's because he has ears tuned to hear a certain thing, okay? So when Jesus is speaking in parables, he's saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not saying, well, if you have ears, you'll hear the words coming out of my mouth, but he's saying, tune your ears, tune your heart, tune your head, to hear the message being spoken. It's not just about the soils. There's something deeper here. Okay, so we tune our ears to hear certain things. Jesus is inviting and warning the people to tune their ears and hearts to receive and obey the words being spoken. So let's keep reading here in Mark, and let's see if we can understand what the message really is. So Mark 4, verse 10. "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables. So that,'" and you see where it's indented there? This is a quote out of Isaiah. "'They may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So Jesus is inviting the people to tune their ears and hearts to receive and obey the words being spoken. And now we read that these people here, these are the ones that want to understand. It says those around him with the 12. So he's got his 12 apostles, disciples with him, and other disciples there. And they're saying, "Jesus, you spoke in parables, and we don't quite get it, but we want to. We want to know what you're saying." These are the people with ears to hear. These are the people, as we read in Deuteronomy 18, these are the ones that want to receive the prophet like Moses. They know he's heard from God, and they're able to hear from him. Now, verse 11 and 12, I said, was a quote from Isaiah, and it's a quote from Isaiah 6, but it's referencing an entire section. So, you know, when I say fourscore, and I forget it now, but you guys know what I'm talking about. You know the message behind that speech. Or I have a dream. You know the message behind that speech. When Jesus is just quoting a little bit of scripture here, he's wanting us to consider a larger section of it. Where did it come from? Isaiah 6. And I'm going to read that here. And you got to think, Isaiah was a prophet that God had sent to the people. They had turned to idols. They were not worshiping the one true God. And Isaiah was a prophet coming to warn them. And God says to Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.' Then I said, 'How long, O Lord?' And he said, 'Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." Now this is kind of different, isn't it? We're not used to seeing this side of God, but you have to understand that God had sent prophets and people for many, many years to say, "Turn your hearts back to the Lord. He'll forgive you." And the people kept turning back to idols and saying, "We don't want Yahweh God. We don't want him. We want these idols." And he sends prophets to warn them and say, "If you don't repent, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to send punishment upon you." So this is a just God. This isn't just an angry God just getting upset with the people for no reason. He's been patient and loving to this people for many, many years, sending prophets and saying, "Turn and repent." And finally, it's getting to the point where he says, "Go say to this people, you're not going to hear anymore. Your hearts are going to be dull to me." One commentary says, "Part of the judgment on those who refuse to believe is that they will eventually lose their opportunity to believe." So I think, as a parent, you know, we were just talking about this earlier, how many times as parents we can understand God's character as well. And I might say to the children, "Clean up your toys. I have a treat for you upstairs." and they refuse to clean up their toys. And I might say it again or a third time, clean up your toys. And they refuse to do it. And finally, as a parent, I just say, well, they're not going to do it. I'm just going to eat the treat myself, right? Have we all been there? But that's what it's like. God's been sending people for years saying, repent, turn, I will forgive you. And they don't. They have hardened their hearts toward God and his words. They do not want to hear who he sends or what he has to say. People turn to idols, years of warning, no repentance, and now judgment is coming. But if you notice, in Isaiah 6, verse 13, right at the end, it said, the holy seed is its stump. So he talked about like a tree would be cut down when it is felled, but a holy seed would be its stump. A holy seed, there's something in that stump yet that's going to sprout up one day and give new life. And that's Jesus. We know the end of the story, right? And we see the same thing today, don't we? We see God being patient with the people, but one day Jesus is going to come back again and it's going to be over. There's no more chance. Charles Spurgeon said, the same sun which melts wax hardens clay. And the same gospel which melts some persons to repentance hardens others in their sins. Okay? All right. Mark 4, verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? This is the first negative comment Jesus has made to his disciples. Jesus will answer their questions, but he wants them to think long and hard about their meaning. He's given a parable and he wants these guys to think. He doesn't want them to just get an easy answer. But they're coming to him and they're saying, Jesus, we want to hear. We want to have ears that hear. We need your help in doing it. All right, kids, remember the soils here? Remember the soils we talked about? All right, this is the meaning behind it. You guys were asking this morning, what are these soils for? We talked about what it would be practically for seeds in different soils. Now the hidden meaning of the parable is this. The hard soil here, remember the hard one where the seed wasn't into the dirt? Okay, that's like the seed is the word of God. So, and we're like soil. So if the seed falls on hard soil and birds can come snatch it, it's like when Satan takes it away. So someone hears the word of God and Satan says to them, you really think that's true? Did God really say that? Did he really mean that? And some people, they listen to that voice, don't they? And they say, yeah, you're probably right. And they go on living the way they do, and it's hard soil. It never gets into their heart. Okay? This soil here, the rocky soil, this is where people hear the word and they make a commitment. So think about this. This might be a new Christian. They rush out to get a new Bible. You see quick changes in their life, but then out of nowhere they give up. Right? It springs to life, but because it has no root, it can't sustain. Maybe it was an emotional experience they had. But when trials come and it's tough, that's when the root's tested, isn't it? I can't worry about ancient books like the Bible. I got to fix this, right? And they worry about those trials that come in their life instead of that root. Or maybe they say a good God wouldn't do whatever. There's no good theology. There's no good root in God's word. Then we have this soil here. Okay, Misha, what is all this? Weeds, all right. The seed falling on this soil, it's like the people that hear the word, but they get choked out by the riches of the world. Okay? There's too much stuff around them that they're not able to receive nourishment. I love God's word, but I also love fill in the blank. Right? Jesus and. They try to make the word of God a piece of a puzzle that fits among all the other pieces. Okay? Maybe it's money or time or things. They get choked out by the riches of the world. And then we had this one right here. What's this soil?
Soft.
The good soil? The soft soil? Right. These are the people that hear the word and obey it. It produces fruit. So the seed in here, if we watered this and it got sunlight, it would grow up to be a plant, right? And in this case, this was a pumpkin seed. The fruit of pumpkin plant is what? Pumpkin, right? Right? So we would expect, if this is good soil and it got water and sunlight, it would do what it's supposed to do and it would produce fruit. And Jesus says 30 times, 60 times, 100 times, it's going to produce a lot of fruit. Because what's in that next fruit? More seeds, right? Which is supposed to be planted among more good soil and produce more fruit. And it keeps growing. Does this make sense, kids? Okay. Everyone else too? All right, so this parable is essentially about two kinds of soil, right? Bad soil, got three examples, and good soil. Now think about the command God gave Adam in Genesis 1. What did he say to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply, right? This picture of reproducing something. Reproducing what? God's image, God's character. He says, go be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with my image. Go do this. Oscar, did the first Adam obey? No, he did not, right? He bore bad fruit. Jesus, the last Adam, as the Bible says, came to produce good fruit. And any who are in him will also produce good fruit. Make sense? So, John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Does this make sense? Jesus is using this analogy again of fruit, bearing fruit. If we're in him, if we're connected to the vine, we'll be receiving the nourishment, receiving life that produces more life. Okay? If we're not, we're cut off and we're burned. Time's up, right? He who has ears, let him hear. Okay. Let's see, where were we? All right, what does it mean to abide in Jesus and bear fruit, Henry? You paying attention? If we abide in Jesus and bear fruit, it means we obey his words, we love one another, and we share the gospel with others. This is bearing fruit, right? We're reflecting what we're attached to, and we're producing seeds to build more. All right, back to Mark chapter 4. Verse 21, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So kids, if I bring a light into a room, are we going to cover it up with a basket? No, Henry, you can answer that one, right? That doesn't make sense, does it? Why do we bring a light into the room? So you can see, right? It lights up the whole room, right? You don't bring a light in and cover it up. That doesn't make sense. Now, here in verse 21, it says, "And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" Again, the original language that this was written in was Greek. And what the Greek actually says is, does the light come to be put under a basket? Misha, what do you think the light is that Jesus is talking about here? The answer starts with a J, ends in Jesus. Jesus, yeah. Who is the light that has come? It's Jesus, and he didn't come to be covered up. Jesus is the light coming into a dark world. But what have people been trying to do to Jesus? What have we been reading about the last several weeks? We got the Pharisees trying to silence him, right? He's the light. They're trying to put a basket over him. We have his earthly family trying to keep him hidden away from the crowds. They're saying, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? They're trying to hide that light. Jesus came so that all people would see his light, love his light, and be saved by his light. Amen? All right, verse 22, it says, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So in one sense, Jesus did come in a hidden way, didn't he? If he's king, like if I was king and I came in, I'd be all dressed up and come with my army and all this stuff. How did Jesus come into the world, Oscar?
When he was born?
Yeah. When he was born. Where was he born?
He was born in a little cow.
In a manger, right? He was placed in a manger. That's where cows eat out of. Okay? He didn't come in his eternal glory. He came very humbly. He was born, placed in a manger, raised by a carpenter in a small town, and he hung out with regular men. This is how our king came. And people needed to see his glory through the eyes of faith. So he's starting to do signs and miracles, but for people to actually believe it and obey his words, they need to do it in faith, right? God did not intend for Jesus' glory to remain hidden forever. He will be seen in his eternal glory once his mission is complete. So as we're seeing his ministry go, we're seeing signs of this is who was promised. This is the one. This is the king. But he's doing it in a very humble way right now. And someday his eternal glory will be all shown. Verse 25, "For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So Jesus wants people to give him all their attention. If they do, they will be given more. If they will not pay attention, it will all be taken away from them. So they're coming to him and saying, "Jesus, I want to understand this parable. I want to hear more about God's word." And he'll give it to them because they're having ears to hear. But those who don't care, it'll be taken away. So I also think too, we got the if you guys all seen the movie Karate Kid, like the original one, the good one. Yeah. All right. Do you remember when Daniel was like, why do I have to do wax on, wax off, paint the fence, right? Right? He's not fully understanding it, but there was a purpose in that, wasn't it? So sometimes even as Christians, sometimes we're given a task. And we're like, I don't understand this. I want to be doing this. But when we do this, right? More will be given. If you're faithful in the little things, then you can be faithful in the bigger things. That's what Jesus is saying. When you show that this seed can be fruitful here, I'll give you more seeds. You'll do more, right? You'll serve people in bigger ways. All right, let's keep going. Mark 4, verse 26. "And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." So imagine just a farmer planting the seed. And does the farmer have to do anything else now? Yeah, but he plants the seed, right? And God is the one that makes it actually grow, right? So if we think when the seed of God is planted, Jesus' true family can be assured that the kingdom of God is growing even when it appears not to be. Okay? Does this make sense? A lot of times, maybe this is more evident in other countries where there's a lot of persecution, and you say, well, how can the kingdom of God grow here? But it is. God's doing something in all that, saying, when you plant those seeds, when you share the gospel, I do the work. And it's amazing, isn't it? That he continues to do that. All right. Last section here. Mark 4, verse 30. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Right? So just think about, I didn't bring a mustard seed because you guys wouldn't be able to see it from up here anyways, but you guys all know what a mustard seed looks like, right? It's very small, but it can grow into a very large plant, big enough where birds can nest in it. Okay? The kingdom of God is starting small now. Jesus is just starting to teach and preach around Galilee. Right? It's very small if you think about the whole earth, but soon it will grow to fill the earth. Jesus would leave them eventually, but the work would continue. And it still continues to this day, right? Michael shared this morning, he learned it from his mother, who learned it from someone else, This kingdom work has been happening since Jesus was on the earth. He left it to his disciples, and his faithful followers continued to plant those seeds, and the kingdom has been growing ever since. So I got to thinking, if you have one person share the gospel with one other person in 1 week, okay? The whole week long, if all they do is share the gospel with one person, and then the second week, the first person shares the gospel again with one person, and the second person also shares the gospel with another person, and so on. You guys get the pattern? Okay. By May 20, if that happened on January 1st, the first week of the year, by May 21st, that gospel would have surpassed the people in St. Paul. Okay? By June 11th, it would have surpassed the Twin Cities metro area. And by July 30th, it would have surpassed the United States of America. Okay, so just putting that in perspective, I want us all to be thinking, are we being faithful with what we've been given? Because if we are, it can keep growing in amazing ways. Now, we know practically not everyone who hears the gospel will be faithful with it, right? Hence the parables. But just putting that in perspective, that math problem, think about it. We can grow the kingdom of God if we're faithful in what we've been given. So, church, let's carefully examine ourselves. I always like to do this at the end of a sermon, right? What does this mean for us today? Let's examine ourselves. In the parable of the soils, we must not all assume we're good soil. And that's probably a little harsh to say, but it's true, isn't it? We always gravitate towards the good guy. Always. But if we actually examine our hearts and our lives and what we've been doing the last several months, are we good soil? It's each one of us should think, what kind of soil have we been? Has Satan stolen the word that has been given to you by making you doubt or question God? Have the trials of this life prevented the word and good theology from taking deep root in your heart and mind? Has the word been choked out by the pleasures of this world and choked out by things that have distracted us from focusing solely on Jesus? If we believe the word has fallen on good soil in our hearts, is it evident by the spiritual fruit we are producing? Right? Jesus says, those who are in me will bear good fruit. Are we bearing the fruit? That's the mark of a believer? Do we sometimes try and hide the light when we should be holding it up for this dark world to see? We've all been there, right? We meet someone, we might even feel that nudge in our spirit. Pray for them. Share the gospel with them. But we're embarrassed. And we hide that light. Do we plant seeds in faith knowing that the Holy Spirit is working with us? Right? A lot of times we think, well, I got to say this or I got to say that. And a lot of times you just got to say a little thing. And the Holy Spirit is what comes in and does the work, right? Like that farmer planting the seeds and then resting at night. He knows God's going to follow through. He's going to be faithful in building his kingdom. All I have to do is my little part in it. We can rest in knowing that when we obey the gospel and share it with others, God will do the work in making it grow. And I wanted to finish by reading Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being gracious and kind and loving, giving us your word and your gospel message through Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Ears that want to understand and obey. And Lord, it is hard. We're surrounded by rocks and weeds and hard soil, and sometimes it's hard, Lord, but I just pray that you'd make each one of our hearts good soil to receive that word and produce fruit. Help us to be faithful in that. And Lord, give us clear opportunities this week to share the gospel with people. In your name we pray. Amen.